The future of work isn't at work at all. It's everywhere. So get the power of the nation's largest gig speed network with Comcast Business. It can deliver gig speeds to the most businesses so you can do more than bounce back. You can bounce forward. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, March 12th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. 2020 was a watershed year for antitrust action. We saw several major lawsuits against Facebook and Google, and on multiple occasions, lawmakers grilled the CEOs of big tech companies in blockbuster hearings on Capitol Hill. Now, a new Congress is considering what would be the most significant changes to antitrust law in decades, with two big hearings this week. Our tech reporter Ryan Tracy is keeping tabs on things, and he'll join us to discuss the latest after these headlines. Cryptocurrency and the art world came together yesterday when the auction house Christie's sold a digital collage for more than $69 million. The sale makes the image's creator, the artist Beeple, one of the most expensive artists alive. It's also the priciest digital asset ever sold with an accompanying non-fungible token, or NFT, basically a kind of virtual certificate of authenticity that's been getting a lot of buzz lately. Here's our reporter Caitlin Ostroff with more.
I mean, this is obviously now the most high-profile NFT that's existed, and it's going to attract a lot of attention, not just from people who were already in this kind of niche market, but from, you know, traditional artists as well. I mean, if you're sitting there and you're looking at your physical painting, which maybe gets $40,000, you're looking at this NFT craze that's happening, and you're thinking there is a massive opportunity there. And so what a lot of people are expecting right now is that we're going to see massive interest, not just in NFT art, but in the NFT space overall.
By the way, Caitlin helped us do a deep dive into NFTs on the show earlier this week, so be sure to cue that episode up next for a refresher. As demand for electric vehicles skyrockets, more traditional car makers have gotten in the game. And that is crowding a market originally dominated by Tesla. And now it appears that Tesla's grip is showing early signs of slipping. New data shows that Ford's new electric SUV, the Mustang Mach-E, is eating into Tesla's market share. And in Europe, Volkswagen has beat out Tesla, making it the top seller in the world's largest market for EVs. In other markets, like Asia, Tesla's market share has held up or even grown. The news comes at a bumpy time for Tesla. While its shares soared last year, its stock is now down about 25% from its January peak. The company has also struggled with production challenges as a result of pandemic shutdowns. Tesla didn't respond to requests for comment. And China has been stepping up its antitrust enforcement in recent months, even forcing the fintech giant Ant Group to call off its planned IPO and restructure its business. Now, we report that they've turned their attention to another company affiliated with the billionaire Jack Ma, Alibaba. According to people familiar with the matter, regulators are considering measures that could include a record fine over concerns about the e-commerce giant's alleged anti-competitive behavior. But officials familiar with the government's thinking say Alibaba could get softer treatment than Ant Group did, given Alibaba's popularity among both Chinese households and global investors. China's antitrust regulator didn't respond to requests for comment, and representatives for Alibaba declined to comment. All right, coming up next, in the U.S., the new Congress is also thinking about strengthening antitrust policy. We'll have more on that after the break.
The future of work isn't at work at all. It's everywhere. So get the power of the nation's largest gig speed network with Comcast Business. It can deliver gig speeds to the most businesses so you can do more than bounce back. You can bounce forward. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Do big tech companies have too much power? Regulators certainly think so. Last year, the Trump administration brought multiple lawsuits against Facebook and Google, alleging that the companies abuse their market power to unfairly quash competition. The companies deny that. Those suits could take several years or longer to work their ways through the courts, which means much of the focus on antitrust action against big tech now turns to the legislative branch, Congress. And they've been moving ahead. Yesterday, a Senate subcommittee met to discuss the issue, and the House is holding their own hearing later today. They're considering several proposals that, if passed, would constitute the most significant changes to antitrust law in decades. So for more on this, we turn to our tech policy reporter, Ryan Tracy. Hey, Ryan, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So yesterday we heard Senator Amy Klobuchar, the chair of the Senate Antitrust Subcommittee, underscore some of these companies' market power and advocate for more resources to address antitrust issues. Here's a little of what she said.
In 1980, when the Justice Department's antitrust division was working to break up AT&T, the division had 453 lawyers. 453 lawyers. This includes during the time of Ronald Reagan. By 2017, it had 330 lawyers. The FTC is also a shadow of its former self. It's 1,719 employees in 1980. It's fallen to 1,102 by 2018. Our agencies cannot fight the biggest companies the world has ever seen with duct tape and Band-Aids.
Ryan, what do we know about how Klobuchar is going to lead the Senate's approach to legislation here?
Well, that issue she discussed about raising the budgets of agencies that enforce the antitrust laws is definitely something at the top of her list and something that has bipartisan support. You know, Republicans also are in favor of doing that, and so that could really happen. There are a number of other things she's proposed that kind of have varying degrees of support. So one thing that also is supported by members of both parties is the idea of giving small news media companies an exemption from the antitrust laws so that they can band together and negotiate with platforms like Facebook and Google over, you know, advertising prices and how content is displayed and issues like that. Ms. Klobuchar, though, also wants to get much broader. She wants to look at the legal standards in the antitrust laws that affect every industry and get into, you know, what is the standard for a government approving a really big merger, or what is the standard for, quote unquote, exclusionary conduct. And if you start changing those standards, you could start having seeing a lot more lawsuits by the government affecting all sorts of different industries. You know, a lot of Democrats think that would be a good thing. A lot of Republicans are kind of concerned about that. And so the details will matter, and there's going to be a debate over the rest of her proposals.
Right. And that would be in line with how broad Klobuchar has argued that this problem really is. Here's some more of what she said yesterday.
America's market power problem cuts across our entire economy. We see it in agriculture. A number of Republican senators just yesterday approached me about this. We see it in online travel, where when people go to these travel sites, they think they have all these great choices. But in fact, over 90% of the market is owned by just two of the companies. They simply own the brand names under them. We see it in the live event industry, where one vertically integrated company dominates ticketing, event sponsorships, and performance venue booking. We see it in everything from cat food to caskets.
Okay, so that is the Senate. And of course, later today, the House Antitrust Subcommittee is set to hold its own hearing, led by the Democratic chairman, David Cicilline. What do we know about his focus and where the House is going to be focusing their attention?
Well, Congressman Cicilline, he's the one who led the investigation of big tech last year. He hasn't put out any specific legislative proposals yet. He has hinted at some of the things he wants to do in general terms. He's talked about potentially forcing tech companies to break up if they have a conflict of interest. For example, if you know an online marketplace or a search engine has small businesses using those platforms, but then also creates its own products that compete with those small businesses, well, he views that as potentially problematic. And so that's the type of thing he could try to address. He's also talked about another notion that kind of has broader support and could also come up in the Senate as well, and that is interoperability and data portability. These are kind of technical issues that have a lot of details to be worked out. But the basic idea is, you know, you want consumers to be able to move between tech platforms more easily. If you were shopping on one online shopping site but wanted to move to another, you could move your purchase history. Or if you wanted to tweet, you could have your tweet show up on your Facebook account, that sort of thing. And so those are two areas we know he's exploring.
So it sounds like there are a lot of different issues being looked at between the two chambers of Congress here. What does all this tell us about how we can expect antitrust policy to develop in the next couple of years? And is this moment different than years previous?
Antitrust law is definitely getting a lot more attention than it used to. It was not a marquee issue in recent years, and big tech and the concerns around that have really made it into one, something where, you know, you're seeing a lot of lawmakers really interested in it. And so that alone, you know, makes it more likely for something to happen. The question is, can Democrats and Republicans find areas of agreement and drop their areas of disagreement? And that's the type of thing that usually can kill legislation. There's always a lot of proposals floating around Congress, and very few of them become law because lawmakers have these other priorities that they're thinking about. You know, the lawsuits last year were the main newsmaker, the main game in town, and those are going to take years to play out. And so, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch what happens on Capitol Hill and to see if they can reach a deal.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit more about some of those hurdles. What's standing between Congress and getting some of the proposals that we talked about turned into laws?
Well, look, the safe bet on Capitol Hill is always betting on nothing happening rather than something happening, right? Certainly that's true with these antitrust bills. There's a lot of other things that Congress is going to be arguing about. And, you know, some of the Republicans that have been most critical of big tech, for example, are also some of the Republicans that, you know, got involved and were very high profile around, you know, the whole post-election fracas that we saw. And so there's this underlying political tension between the parties right now that could really make it hard to get something done. On the other hand, you know, lawmakers can walk and chew gum at the same time. And there is potentially a deal to be had here, according to both sides. And so we'll have to see how the negotiations go and whether they can find the votes.
So what does all this mean for the tech companies and how are they responding?
Well, the tech companies haven't commented a lot on these specific legislative proposals because they're fairly new. We know that in general, big business doesn't like the idea of tightening the antitrust laws in ways that could, you know, for example, prevent them from buying a company that they want to buy. So, you know, we expect to see big tech and big business push back on this. And certainly, you know, broadly, tech companies make the case that they do operate in very competitive markets, that they are forced to innovate, and that, you know, they have huge market shares because consumers really like their products, not because they're being anti-competitive or unfair.
All right. That's our tech policy reporter, Ryan Tracy. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
That's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our supervising producer is Chris Zinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum. And I'm your host, Amanda Llewellyn. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.